All right, let's keep talking about these markets and what what a lot of us as investors want to do based on the information we're getting. We bring into the stream Kevin Simpson. He's Capital Wealth Planning's founder and chief investment officer. We appreciate your being here with us today. And I think I get a sense of what you mean when you say it could soon be a story of good news is bad news, especially when it comes to being counter the news when you're trying to figure out the Fed. Can you elaborate, please?
Yeah, Adam, a lot of big data points today for sure. Jared touched on them both with the jobless claims as well as the PPI number. But Wall Street's not reacting. I don't know, maybe everyone's at the beach, at the pool, because we're seeing flat lines on the markets. Let's first talk about the employment number. We saw a third week in a row where jobless claims have come down, which is a great thing. This on the heels of a July number that came in much hotter than expected. And Wall Street traded higher on that good news. But to your point, Adam, good news becomes bad news at some point, because one of the hot buttons for the Fed is what does the jobless landscape look like? What does the employment landscape look like? And when can we start tapering? And if we see a hot number again for August, like we saw in July, then that's going to encourage more Fed speakers to come out with a hawkish approach and begin that taper talk a lot sooner. If the jobs number is weak, then they can run that dovish road a little bit longer. But I think that we've got to be paying a lot more to the jobless numbers than we are. And certainly the August number at month end is going to be incredibly important after the Jackson Hole meeting.
Kevin, what do you think about the levels, though, that we're at right now? Because the Dow, yes, it's off just a fraction today, but not too far from that record high that we saw. S&P at a new record today. NASDAQ is back in the green. Are we overdue for a pullback? And I guess how big of a pullback do you think we could potentially see?
Yes, Sean, it's incredible. You know, the markets just keep grinding higher. And I think we haven't seen a 5% pullback since last October. We almost had one a couple weeks back. We may have gotten 3.5%, 4% across the board from an index standpoint. But under the hood, so many companies have had a 10, 14, 15% retrenchment from peak to trough. So I'm not as concerned that the markets have been trending higher, because there's a few big names that hold it up. There are so many companies that had pullbacks, again, of magnitudes that we would consider correction territory. It's not as, Tom Lee is calling it an everything rally. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. But we're seeing markets show incredibly resilient, and they continue to make new highs. I would expect some volatility. I don't know what the catalyst is. I mean, the Delta variant is the one staring us in the face as certainly the most obvious. And if we see a 10% pullback, which I'm not expecting, I would jump in and buy it with both feet.
We're going to get Disney earnings after the bell. And I think a lot of people are paying attention to the impact the pandemic's having on the return to the theme parks. Is there anything in particular, whether it's Disney or other travel and leisure related stocks, especially with the Delta variant on the rise, that you're paying attention to? We know that, for instance, Southwest Airlines lowered their guidance, at least for August, and said they won't be profitable now in the third quarter.
Yeah, Adam, I mean, everyone's trying to ignore the Delta variants. And, you know, Wall Street is hoping that we're going to see a peak here in the next few weeks, and that when kids get back to school, it's going to level out, fall over. Hoping isn't necessarily a great strategy. Disney earnings today will be really important to look at, because it's both a reopen and a pandemic a company because of the Disney Plus. You know, when everything shut down and you couldn't go to theme parks or movie theaters or sporting events, you know, ESPN wasn't doing that well. You couldn't go on Disney cruises. They made their money with Disney Plus. And seeing how that continues will be incredibly important. But far more important than what they talk about for their second quarter number, whatever their earnings report shows tonight, we want to look at what they're talking about for the third quarter, for the fourth quarter, and 2022, because there are few companies that can give as much insight into the potential of a Delta variant problem than a company like Disney.
Kevin, when you take a look at where the market is right now, I think a lot of investors are kind of scratching their heads, figuring out how to position themselves right now, because we've seen pretty wild swings between the leaders and laggards over the past year or so. Where are you seeing the most opportunity today?
Well, we're looking back at the infrastructure stocks as a way to kind of play the future. Some of those companies just went on an incredible tear and then sort of sold off. You can use Caterpillar as like the infrastructure play as an example. You know, the stock had peaked out around 245. dropped back down into the very low 200s, almost got below 200. So you're looking at a stock there that's certainly within a much better buying opportunity than what was when we sold it at 226. And again, it went to 245. We just bought it back this week around 206 to 208. We also like Honeywell. We like CSX. We like the infrastructure names. And we think for the most part, they can continue to improve earnings, which would make stock prices go higher. Companies that make new highs can go higher as long as they're making those highs for the right reasons.
I'm curious, you also said that you're old enough to remember gas lines and 15% interest rates. I'm going to top you. I remember when Interstate 75 was still under construction on the west coast of Florida. When you talk about inflation, and we're talking about the 1970s, do your clients have a true concern that inflation could get so out of hand that we would revisit the late 70s and early 80s?
No, Adam, absolutely not. They're still doing construction on I-75 still, so we're not finished yet. Hyperinflation, hot inflation running too hot for too long isn't a real concern. And although it's not a concern to me, and that's important, what's most important is it's not a concern to Chairman Powell or the Federal Reserve. They're going to let this thing get up to 2 or 3%. That's hotter than we're used to because we're used to 0% inflation. But companies can make a lot of money in a 2 to 3% inflationary environment. You can do really well in the stock market. I don't think any of the investors or financial advisors that we talk to are thinking about the gas lines, looking out back at your license plate to see if it's an odd or even number, you know, or thinking about mortgage payments in the double-digit interest rate environment. We don't want to get there, and I'm cautiously bullish, I'm optimistic, and I don't think that we will.
Kevin, do you think we're making too much of this inflation debate? I mean, the fact that the Fed has said, or the Fed has really signaled that they are going to let inflation run a little bit hotter than we are used to, like you were just saying. And it seems like investors, at least right now, seem to be okay with it. So are we just making a little bit too much of where things stand today?
Well, today we're not making any big deal of it. You led the program and Jared talked about the PPI number, which was hotter or higher for now the eighth month in a row. But, you know, we need it to be. We need the economy to be reopening. So we need the number to increase each month. And, Shauna, we don't want it to increase too much. So I don't think you can make too big a deal about it. You certainly want to be aware of it. It's not inflation that can kill this bull market. It's high interest rates. The Fed doesn't want to see either. But to listen to them talk about transitory, temporary inflationary environments, I think the core inflation that came out a little bit light might be proving them right to a certain extent that maybe we're leveling out a little bit, that maybe we're going to hover around here. And believe me, that would be a best case scenario. We want the Fed to be right. We want this to be temporary and transitory. They might be fibbing a little bit because the eyeball test tells us that we are seeing inflation. But if we can see it level off and not run rampant too hot, too high for too long, then that would be the best case scenario for sure.